Hello, this is Tommen, Lord Tommen, and his best friend Sir Pounce, and I'm reporting in from my room with my best friend Sir Pounce, the best friend a boy's ever had. And I'm Tommen, his best friend, the best friend a cat's ever had. And we are the best friends that Justus has ever had, Sir Pounce and Tommen, clearing the names of we've been working. If those of you that listen to me and Pounce, Sir Pounce, Sir Pounce wanted to say, this boy, the stable boy, is framed by your brother Joff. And he said he took away this milkmaid, and I don't buy it. I don't like your brother. I liked the milkmaid. Stable boy is not so bad either. We've got to, you know, clear his name. And I said, well, is this the same stable boy that lives under my toilet in the basement? He said, that's not your toilet. We got moved to a new room. He goes, we already covered this. Or something like that. I don't know. Sometimes then I say, I think about peacocks. And then I just say, okay, Sir Pounce. And I picture in my head a peacock. And I say, every eye is watching me. And I am watching every eye of the peacock. And I say, why are there so many eyes watching me? And then I say, oh, did you want me to sing you a song, peacock? You know, that's what I do. But Sir Pounce said, okay, well, we got to get moving. I said, what was that boy's name again? Oddman. And he said, yeah. And I said, okay, so what are we going to do? And Sir Pounce said, you know, Frary. So we went and we met in the town these two women. And they were called, and they were, they had a group called the Mothers of Criminals. And what's that, Sir Pounce? Oh, what? Oh, Sir Pounce is not happy with me. Mothers of Renovance. Oh, Innocence. Is it? That's when you're... Oh, yes. Mothers of Innocence, he says, not at criminals. I'm not clear on the... But anyway, so they met with us and they said, we have, brought to attention the stable boy, and we've lost our sons to the upper class. Now, you should know that I had to wear a burlap coat and pretend I was, and Sir Pounce, we pretended, anyway, you don't want to know. But anyway, so they said, the terrible upper class and the royals, the nasty, nasty Lannisters. And they say, framing these, all of our children against their crimes. And I said, peacock, how many eyes does a peacock have? And everyone was silent. I said, when the peacock eyes watch you, what shall you do? And they thought, they said, oh, yes, always watching. And I said, these people get me. And I said, yes. I said, they watch everything you do. And they judge you. And they clapped and they said, oh, finally, one of the monsters has come to see the light. And I said, the light reflected in the eyes of a peacock's eyes is a light that is blinding and delicious to see. And it was, I think they took them. And they said, okay, well, anyway, we got to get to work here. So we've been looking at this case about the stable boy. And we've determined there's no possible way, he could have done it. He has so many duties, and he has so many people that love him. And something about, why would he do it? They said, it doesn't make any sense. They said, and I said, what it comes down to is, what's the deal with this Joff? What's the deal with Joff, they say. And I don't know how they knew. And they were all looking at me. And they said, what is it? And I said, oh, boy. I said, the peacock would have no eyes for the Joff, in disguise, I said, because it rhymed. But And they said, "We think this king is a sick man." And I said, "Well, he is a boy, or a man, depending on how you look at it." And they said, "Well, what is he? Is this Sir Pounce? What do you think the deal with Joff is?" And Sir Pounce, he said to them, it's complicated things, but he and he says, Sir Pounce basically said that he'd challenged Joff's, in the milkmaid had seen it. And because Joff's, manhood had been challenged by a cat, that Joff had been neutered as they tried with Sir Pounce, and Sir Pounce had cut the man, and I don't know. And he said, "Never neuter me, was I don't know, Tom." And he looked crazed, but he said, this Joff, that was what he had against him, is that he made a fool of him in front of the hound, in front of me, and in front of the milkmaid. I think Sir Pounce, I don't know. And so Sir Pounce said she had, Joff was out to get her and probably to get Sir Pounce, but he said, "A better man could not get me, so how could that fool get me? But he probably will." I don't know. Sir Pounce said, "Don't worry." I said, "What is Joff going to do?" And Sir Pounce said, "Rawr, rawr." And he said, "Rawr, rawr." And I said, "Think about the peacock eyes." And so I thought about peacock eyes, but he kept talking about that Joff is a bad man. He must have, Sir Pounce's best guess is that one day Joff saw the milkmaid with this stable boy, and then he heard the tales of the stable boys. Wait, I don't know what a jandong is. Jandong. That the stable boy was a legendary fool. Jandong. I don't know if that's his nickname. And that he was way. And he was so nice and genuine, and Sir Pounce said, in a way, he was very, not as good as you, Tommen, not as good as you, but very good at scratching behind the ears, almost as good as Tommen. And I said, "Oh, thank goodness, that's the only thing I know." The mother says, "I'm not good at anything." I said, "Well, petting Sir Pounce, mother, are you listening?" "I'm not listening to you talk about that cat, you fool." "But, Mother, you said I am not good at anything." And I said, "Sir Pounce, I'm the best friend." Go see the maester and have him give you some more medicine. Anyway, so he said, "That's the deal with your brother Joff. This King Joffrey is out for revenge against all parties involved out of jealousy." And he said something, what is it? Something about masculation, master. That's the maester asked me, masturbation. Tommen, have you started the masturbation? I said, "What's that?" And he said, "Why should I explain?" He goes, "Would you take yourself?" And he said, "Never mind, Tommen. Your mother wanted me to talk to you. But the masculation, they say, he emasculated him. That's what I see. Sir Pounce is shaking his head and grinning. So that was the deal with Joff. And then I said, later in the day, I said, "Mother, what are innocents?" And she said, "What do you mean?" I said, "People that say they were not criminals. No, framed." And she said, "Well, where did you hear those words?" I said, "Well, these lovely women, they meet down at the Crow's Foot Inn every Tuesday at Second Sun." And Mother said, "Thank you." And then the women, their heads were looking, always looking at the dungeon, Mother said, forever, to see what happens Yes, something I don't know. So I think that was the same. No, I don't know. Mother said there's no innocence. Only fools are innocent. Oh, she has something. You're innocent of being. I don't. Again. So that's it, Tom and Sir Pounce. And then I went back to my room, and the boy said, "Where did you meet with the mothers to find out how to save me, Tom?" And, "Hello, Tom." And I said, "Hello, Wanton. Hello. I'm not going to go to the bathroom on you today. Maybe tomorrow." And he said, did you? And Sir Pounce said, "We're working on it." And he said, "Oh, okay. Because, you know, my trial's coming up. And I'm not having a trial, just, Joff wants to make a speech before, that's soon." And Sir Pounce said, don't worry, we'll take care of it. And I said, "Okay, Wanton, I'm going to go to the bathroom now." "Oh, too, I did." And then he said, "Oh, Tommen, oh." So that is the tale of Sir Pounce and Tommen's quest for justice for the innocents. If you're innocent, the pike, mother said something like that. The innocent on a pike is when your innocence is the innocence I like. I think that's what she said. Innocence on a pike is the innocence I like. And I agree with mother. Keep them looking. Innocence on a pike is the innocence I like too. Me and Pounce. So Pounce is shaking his head. I will talk to him. And we will find out more about Wanton's justice. Good day. It's time for my prayers. Crone, sweet, sweet Crone, Miller, Smith, Barkey, Miller, Smith, Barkey, Jester, praying in. It's me. Baby, we missed you guys last week because of some stuff. No, you guys won't get it at all, but as a, in the other, so you're, anyway, you know what I've been up to, and, it's natural, I had urges. Anyway, that aside, update of with the cereal that I've been working after, the guy with the great show, everybody loves it, cliffhangers, and how's it going to turn out? That's what Westeros is talking about it. And I go in, and then they're all excited. And the innkeeper says, these people got to get bored and get cathartic. And then they throw the stuff. You guys, so I've been doing that. But really, I'm not just a fool that would go on stage to be booed and pelted. I recently discovered this one part of Westeros that has Brussels sprouts, which is like the worst because they have the stink of like a broccoli or a cabbage, but they're small and tight, and they can rot really good. So even little kids can really get them moving. So the Brussels sprout town, that's where we've been. I don't know what part of Westeros, the river face or whatever. Sorry, Miller, you probably love that part of Westeros. Anyway. But I'm not just playing a fool on stage and then boring people, to bore them at the end so they go home. I mean, those are the things I'm good at. But my, desire is to catch Cat Stevens and Aristotle from mucking about and fantasy, trying to create their own fan fiction, is what my suspicion has been, and ruining George R. R. Martin's work. And then, henceforth ruining Weiss and Benioff's work. I don't think it would retroactively affect anything, like Back to the Future style. That would, never mind, no more DVDs, Barkey. But so I've been working hard. We're in this whatever town it's called with the Brussels sprouts. I guess it's more of a small city. And so I was working my material, right? People throw stuff. I'm like, what do you call this? This is like a little brain. And what do they call it? It says a Brussels sprout. And I said, what is it named after? I'm acting. This tastes worse than it smells. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, whole routine. But and then I'm like, I check the back. The guys are staring at me. I'm pretty sure it's Cat Stevens and Aristotle. Guys, you might have a question, though, that I really don't have time to answer, but you might be saying, is this Cat Stevens or Yousef Islam, I think is his name now. I think it's, I don't know. I'm not joking, gods. I just know Cat Stevens. It's not like I said Cat Stevens has changed his name. He's dead to me. It's just hard for me to remember that kind of stuff. And it'd be like if Steve Miller is going by, like a Steve Miller band, if he changed his name, I'd still call him Steve Miller because I don't know. Was he going to be go Steven Miller or this just Steven? It wouldn't, in a degrading way, it wouldn't matter to me if Steve Miller changed his name or just like S, whatever, gods. He's Cat Stevens to me. He'll always be Cat Stevens, but I'm pretty sure he is Cat Stevens in this universe because, you know, I think he became more peaceful. In this one, he's kind of conquering and out to get me stuff. But so they were staring at me, and I figured Aristotle. He must hate my logic. Logically, he must hate me. So I launch in, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, continuing our talks about my philosophies and the T for Tillerman talks, I'm glad everyone's here. And everyone gets it now, so they're all like, oh, boy. And they've thrown everything. Some people save some stuff. So, I stuff my pants with a bowl. But I say, oh, here we are miles from nowhere. And who's in pursuit of us but that, you know, that other god, whatever you guys call him, the shadow boxer or something. But I wonder, and I know you wonder about the physics, metaphysics of, you know, you think of potentiality and actuality in the elements behind all creation. And I'm here to enlighten you, because you might say, look at this hearth; it's full of fire. And what is there? What makes up fire? If fire is just fire, well, then whence does fire come from? And you drink, you know, your ale. It has, you know, it's made from water. Well, you might have a water, and you say, that's water. Is it whence does water come from? It is water. And earth and rock and stone, you might say, well, this is earth, you know, it's dirt, it's tiny rocks. You might say, oh, no, it's a different, well, I am the metaphysicist here. And I'm here to explain that there's both, and each element is its own. And in its own, you shall discover what it can be and what it once was. Now, if you look at yourselves and wonder, if you look into your hearts and say to yourselves, you know, here I am miles from nowhere. What does he mean? Is he talking in riddles? No, because I'm not good at riddles. But riddle me this. What awaits you at nowhere? And is that where we're headed? Of any of the gods, what are you, seven gods? 8, 9, 10, whatever lands have. Is it the God or the Brussels sprouts? Is that God say to you, listen, man, you're not going to make it. No one is. But here's the deal. You know, no, it's never that clear. And you might say, miles from nowhere, I've never heard a song. I know it's a title, but I'm not familiar with it. And I'd say, ooh. Baby, it's miles from nowhere. Bada, 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 bada. I'm just a guy with a smile there. And that got him. He was pointing, Cat Stevens, he's pointing right at me. And he's, you know, I've never seen in a. I actually have seen this kind of rage in many people's eyes, man, woman, child, directed at me. But it was the clear rage. And I said, all right, well, I got him now. Trap is sprung. And I say, folks, you know, you got to ask yourself when you're singing a song like that, that, you know, I might die tonight. And you say, but I might die tonight. And that but is an extension into the universal unknown of your potentiality. And you wonder yourself, and that was it. Aristotle flips the table over. And I think God's, I found some courage or something because I just kept going. And I say, you know, the elements, the thing is, you know, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. This God stuff is one thing. But what is this philosophy? You know, I sit up here and I'm just like these philosophers just making it up. And these songs, you know, they all sound the same. These bards are singing. They're just ripping you off, ripping you off. Now, the darndest thing is God's. Everyone's asleep but Aristotle and Cat Stevens, and they're working their way towards me. And then I'm like, innkeeper, did someone serve them coffee? And then I'm like, oh, wait a second, I sprung the trap without a trap. Because remember, that's the last time I said, okay, I'll work on the trap. I work on the trap, and then I found a yo-yo. And I forgot all about working on the trap. I was, you know, trying to walk. They call it walking. Do you know, guys, you know what a yo-yo is? No. Crone, are you still awake? Crone. Could that be a good thing, Crone? It'd probably be good for you, yo-yoing, but good for your wrists, your mind to watch that move. And I could try to teach you to walk the dog once I learn it. And then there's other stuff that has, you know, like walk the dog. There's like one where you make it look like a bell tower, Crone. That would be another good one. Maybe I could hypnotize you. Well, I don't really. Maiden, I could hypnotize you. But I would try it out on you, Crone. It may make, you know, do they have that when you were a girl and the guy says you're a chicken now? And you say, but anyway, guys, we're in the middle of the action part. So they come at me and I'm like, oh boy, no plan here. And I say, did you guys happen to pay your bill? But did you pay your bill? Because they look like they were eating a lot. And then the innkeeper's like, what? And I said, these guys are trying to exit without paying their bill. And then I said, you know, in a matter of fact, this guy, these are the exact people I was telling you about. That they've gone town to town. I hear about these guys up and down the dial, just, you know, ripping people off, man. They're wanted in four Riverlands. And innkeepers is a big guy, Brussels sprout man eater. And he grabs them and does like the two, like where they bangs their heads together. And he says, you're going to pay me. And then I ran. And luckily, I had relocated from wherever I was sleeping last time. I remember I tried to get in Cereal's room, and then we went to this town. And I was traveling, like, again. I'm like, man, this is a little colder here, huh? And I'm like, we're real popular now. And he goes, yeah, you'll eat. And I said, well, yeah, what about, you know, and then he said, oh, well, they got room in the stables. And I said, really? I've always wondered if I could sleep in the hay anyway, if it's as bad as they say. So, you know, I was like, part of me thinks it'd be cool to sleep under the hay. But, you know, everybody says it's so pokey and stuff. And so then I just went and hid under the hay, gods. And that's where I am right now. So that's a report, believe it or not. And so I'm going to if you guys could think of a plan and let me know, because they're probably looking for me. They're not going to find me. I mean, probably not the best to talk anymore. But yeah, that's it, God. So I'm going to hear and prayer and in. Sweet Crone, sweet, sweet Crone. I'm just here to reset your, you know, because I'm worried, God's, you know, Miller Smith, Barkey, Chester. You know, I don't want them disrupting you guys, because you're the ones that keep the stars in the sky. And in my heart, you know, that you guys like that. I made that up. So that's it, gods. I'm checking out. And I'll be praying in soon with a good, you know. Oh, yeah, I forgot I had the yo-yo down here. Yeah, I'm going to play some yo-yo. Bye-bye-bye.